a few things that didn't turn out the way we hoped, but overlook a few little things, and I'm sure you'll get the main idea. As we come here this morning, again, I want to say thank you for your support as a church, for those that stay in touch with us, send us those little tidbits of news, like I was saying, that Sherry will really appreciate the bulletins and the things that it means a lot. For the mission board that stays in touch and are there when we have questions or things that, available for us. We appreciate that. So we'll start out this morning. Our presentation starts with an overview of our first 10 years. It's not quite 10 years in Mongolia, but it's hard to believe it's been a 10-year journey. It's been longer than a 10-year journey, but a little overview of what we've been through. So it's been a journey. It's been it's been a journey as the Lord works. Thinking of, as I mentioned, with thinking of Sherry going, and that made me think of when I first went, in my first term of service, and what the Lord's done in my life and brought Tanya and I together, and how all this all comes together. And being in Mongolia for enough time that coming to America feels like leaving home instead of going home. It's been a journey. And the Lord's worked each step of the way. And you think about the language study, which you saw there, and then we moved to Selang and did English teaching, and realized that, you know, English teaching maybe wasn't the best fit for our family. Moved to Underhan. A pastor kept calling me, come, come, come. But after 2 years, he moved back to the capital city because personal reasons, finances, or whatever. And I was kind of alone there in the church, trying to do some church planting, kind of on my own, fumbling my way through. And the greenhouse project was going well, building relationships, but sometimes you feel like you're not making very much headway. The hockey project started, and all those steps all build and build and build to bring us to where we are today. So, as of 2015, we were in Underhan. Now they changed the name to Chinggis City. Chinggis being what Americans would say Genghis Khan. And our province is the birthplace of that. We have here the picture of our city from the summer camp of some herdsmen friends. This is where they're at in the summer. From there you can see in over the city. It's a city of about 20,000 people in the middle of a valley. So, but being there and all this journey, what is it all about? Why are we there? It's about relationship. It's about sharing Christ's love, whether you're in Due West or Mongolia. It's all about building relationships. And there's a million ways you can build relationships. You can build relationships with the person you work with. Sports, for our boys, hockey has become a big thing. And it's a way to connect. For Juliana, she just connects easily anyways. A lot of friends. Annika, she has her babysitter. She goes there and connecting with the children and playing there in that family. Zach, a lot of friends around the community. He's standing there with the guy that came to be our assistant at the rink for the winter. And connecting with local believers. There's churches in town that we connect with, some more than others, but there's a body of believers there that they're all new believers, majority of them first-generation believers, and they ask questions. How do you have a funeral in Mongolia? I don't know. Let's work through it together. The Greenhouse Project, which I mentioned, started in 2011, spring 2011, with several families working together with one greenhouse. It didn't work. The cooperation didn't work so good. Branched out, doing one greenhouse in each family's yard, and then had the opportunity to get into work with a kindergarten. And just 2 days before we came to Mongolia, the Lord opened the door, and it's like, I don't know, it's just that perfect timing. So we're supposed to leave on Sunday. It was more than 2 days. We're supposed to leave on Sunday, and on Thursday, two different kindergartens came, knocked at my door, said, we want a greenhouse too. Can you work with us? Well, sorry, I'm leaving in just a few days, but, you know, I'll stop by, I'll see what you have. And I didn't feel like I could tell them no, even though I have a waiting list of people that want to build a greenhouse. You know, if it's a kindergarten, I really want to work with you. It's good community connectedness. And they're supposed to put in a foundation and lay the block and be ready when I come back in the fall. So the Lord continues to move and provide opportunities. I got ahead of myself there. So what's next? More kindergartens want to work with us. Families are waiting to join the project. And so we feel like the Lord is saying, continue the greenhouse project. It's just a great way to connect with people, connect with children. I go in the springs into the kindergartens, plant seeds with the children. And so it's our presence there, working with families. It just provides a lot of opportunities. And then Eagle Wings Hockey started in 2012. It was a dream I had as a teenager to. There was never enough ice in Pennsylvania. How can you have more ice? And it finally came true a lot of years later on the other side of the world. But the ice rink takes up a lot of time, but it's a lot of opportunity to connect with the youth in town. I have friends with youth that I otherwise would have, I wouldn't know their name. They wouldn't say hi on the street. And then there's the hockey training that started in Austin 2012. The first year was just learning how to skate. Second year, learning how to play hockey. And by the end of the third year, we got a bronze medal. And we're really proud of ourselves. The team, the teamwork, the community effort to have a bronze medal for our town. First ever medal for the town for hockey. First ever bronze. And it's been, say, well, we didn't need to get a medal to have fun. We didn't need to have a medal to have hockey in our town. But I already see how it's bringing awareness in town, bringing the community more supportive. They say, well, what's this guy's doing? You know, really, it really is something. And it really can be a benefit to us and more interaction there. So we're really excited about the hockey program. That was the U18 with 18 and under. The 16 and under group came in fourth place this year. And it's one of those things where this year we have 17-year-olds. Next year we'll have 18-year-olds. The next year, the majority of our players that we have will move up. They keep getting older. And so our team will will lose a lot of our players. They'll move to adult league. Which I'm not planning on working with at this point. But as the players move on, we need more players to fill their places. And so the Lord's providing that awareness. The young people are seeing, they see the medal, they see the big banner in town of this team that brought home a medal. And the Lord is working. I failed to point out on the previous slide. I'll just go back. Victor also, we got the bronze medal. Victor also got goalie of the year in the U18 division. And the U16 division, we had no goalie. We didn't know what we were going to do. And Juliana decided that she wanted to give it a try. So she practiced for a few weeks, went to the tournament. She got also got goalie of the year. She was interviewed on TV. So how long have you been playing hockey? 3 weeks? So I told her she should have told him, well, this is my first year. But anyway, she did good. Our children are enjoying hockey, and it makes a lot of connection. You see Julianne, the picture there with that young girl. Now they're Facebook friends, social media. And who knows what opportunities the Lord will provide through those friendships. So the ice rink, you know, it provides connections with youth. We're able to teach character and model Christ through the hockey program, teaching teamwork, leadership, honesty. And I saw that in a big way, the whole honesty. The very first year we had the hockey program, we had these kids. And I stayed behind the counter and handed all the stuff out and collected it all back and everything had its spot. Is everything here? Did anything go missing? Maybe a little bit paranoid, but rightfully so, because they don't trust anyone either. But till the third year, I would go before hockey practice and start a fire, get the shack warmed up. By the time that the fire started, guys would show up, say, okay, I'm running home, need to finish my breakfast and pick up the kids, bring Victor and Vincent back for hockey practice. And they were there, they watched over, they got dressed, and we became a family. We trusted each other, we worked together. And also able to model Christ. As we were planning to go to the hockey tournament this year, we were trying to find money for travel and lodging and food, and working with the one teacher at the one school, and he said, well, you know what we can do is turn in our receipts over here and then not tell them that we turned in receipts over there. We can get money. We can get double money. And you can, you know, you always need money, right, to run your program. I'm like, no, we're not going to do that because it's not honest. It's like, but why wouldn't you? If there's a good way to get a little extra money, and you're going to use it for the good of the community, I mean, it's justifiable, definitely justifiable. And if I was going to pocket it, no, it's not justifiable. But why not pocket a little bit of money? That's what they would do. But they don't. But I didn't. And so, just those opportunities that come up through living life with the people. And also, the last point there, encouraging an alternative to alcohol. You see in the picture there, a young man, he's a pastor. You see his one sleeve hanging real straight. Doesn't have an arm in it. But he hasn't let life get him down. Well, he did for a few years after his injury. Lost his arm in a factory accident. Drank a lot. Said, what can I do? But now, he's a cross-country skier. He had opportunity to go to the Olympics in Russia. Turned it down because his wife was expecting. Pastoring a church, teaching soccer in Mongolia to several hundred children, or 100 and some children in his town. Also now getting involved in ice hockey because the town built a rink and they come to him. Who's the person we can ask to coach our kids? Well, this guy is the one that's good with kids. And he's a pastor, and he's impacting people for Christ. And get him to come and share. He was asked to act in a movie. They didn't even have to find somebody and take the video graphics and take his arm off. He already doesn't have an arm. And so he played a role as a soldier in a movie. And he comes and shows these kids, you know, when life gets tough, it doesn't mean you stop. It doesn't mean you turn to alcohol. Just because you think you're a nobody because you live in the middle of nowhere doesn't mean that you need to stop living life. So to be able to encourage these young guys to pursue life, to set goals, to be a person that will be a contribution to your community. And Lord willing, we'll see some come to Christ through the program, the hockey program. Working with Ice Rink, we have an employee. This is Gonzorik. His wife died February 18th after a short battle with cancer, only about 9 months. So he's serving the Lord, but it's a struggle. Also, just recently reconnected with this family here. He was pastoring a church in town. They had some leadership issues, and he left the church. For about 4 years, he floundered around. He was just discouraged. Not being in the church, not being a pastor. He was doing an alcohol recovery ministry. But it was tough not being connected with the local church. And I think it was around Christmas. I think it was the Christmas party. I went to church, the church we had been attending regularly. And his wife was there. And I said, where's Baya? And she said, well, he's at the mine. He's working at the mine. And it's just the rest of that service. I just was like, Baya's working at the mine. Why is this pastor working at the mine? And it's like, where's Barnabas? And I prayed about it for a month. And a couple of times I felt like, you know, I just need to get in my car and drive to the mine and bring by it back and say, you know, you don't need to work at the mine. You have more potential than to work at the mine. And Then he showed up. He came back for the Mongolian New Year. He came to church. And when he had first left the church where he was serving at, he came to me and wanted to work together with me. And I said, you know, if you can square away this personality conflict, then we can work together. And he left, and he never came back. And then over the 4 years, and so Baya comes back to church, and he stood up at church. He didn't know I was going to be there. He didn't know I was praying for him. He didn't know what all was going on. And he apologized for all the things he had done, all the things he had said. In my opinion, he apologized for too much. But God gave him the grace to say, you know, I'm sorry. Even though you did wrong. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I left. I'm sorry. I got mad and left. I had a right to get mad and leave. No, he didn't say that. He did have a right. But so since he's back, I've talked with Baya. We're going to be working together. There's really no good way for him to fit back in the church where he's at. They've gone on. They've brought in more leadership. So he's excited to work in a church plant with us when we get back in the fall. We're interested in doing the theological education by extension, TEE. It's in a lot of languages. He'll hopefully head that up and get that started to provide Bible school, like correspondence Bible school for the people in our area. And he'll help out with greenhouse and other things as well. So, by faith, and you see the journey that we've gone through, the journey that we all go through. How do we go through the journey that we're on? And we look at Hebrews chapter 11. And it starts out there. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And that is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made out of what was invisible. And it goes on. By faith Abel had a better sacrifice. How did he know what was the better sacrifice? God spoke and he obeyed. Noah, God spoke and he obeyed. Abraham, God said go and he went, not knowing where he was going. Moses, God called Moses. Moses wasn't perfect. He said, no, I can't do it. My tongue is weak. Please send me a helper. God was angry and almost killed Moses on his way to Egypt. But God worked through Moses, and Moses was a success. He had Aaron as his helper, but through it all, in the narrative, we see Moses as being the primary leader of the children of Israel. God used him in a mighty way. So, by faith, it's not knowing where we're going. It's not knowing where the journey is going to go, but going on the journey anyway. The first song that was sung this morning about the lighthouse, it was a new song. I hadn't heard that one before. So I don't remember the words exactly, but at one point I think it said, we follow, but we follow him. And I had this picture of, you know, all the rough waves and all the darkness, and way out there, there's a light. So I'm going that way. Is that the way I want to go? You just have faith and you follow the light. So, this morning, in particular, I would like to look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. In our look at faith. And this is a passage that challenged me. I looked at it in a different way than before here a while back. So Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting at verse 19. Then the Lord our God commanded us. We set out from Horeb and went toward the hill country of the Amorites, through all the vast and dreadful desert that you have seen. And so we reached Kadesh Barnea. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord your God is giving us. See, the Lord your God is giving you the land. Go up, take possession of it, As the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. So, go up and get it as the Lord commanded. How many years ago had God told Abraham, I'm going to give you this land? And by faith, the children of Israel were still pursuing God's command, God's promise. And we can go through life and forget God's promises. Or we can go through life remembering God's promises. What are those promises that we have that we forget and we get discouraged and we get scared and the fears and logic and all those things that say, no, you shouldn't do that. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to move to Mongolia, to take your whole family to Mongolia, to go to Asia and stomp around and distribute Bibles or whatever you're going to do. Why not have fun? Why not get a job and begin your career? Because as the children of Israel, Moses says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead and spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route that we are to take and the towns we will come to. The idea seemed good to me, so I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. So they came and said, before we go on our trip, let's check it out. We'll make a plan of attack. But that checking it out, spying it out, turned into a problem. They came back and they were discouraged. Moses said, don't be discouraged. God gave us a promise and we can stand on that promise. We don't need to fear. But they went and looked. And so, is spying out the land, is it wrong? I spied out the land. I went to Mongolia. The summer of my college internship, we went and we spied out the land. Was I wrong in doing? Is it wrong to make a plan? No, we need a plan. We need to spy out the land. But when we're spying out the land, when God says do this or do that, do we go spy out the land to see if we're going to do it or how we're going to do it? And it's by faith. So yes, we're out there's the lighthouse and we're going towards the lighthouse. And it's not if we're going to go, it's how we're going to go. And you can climb up on the top and get your spyglass out and see what's ahead. But when you see something in between, you just can't stop. You got to keep going because you might have to find the way around it, but we keep going because we have that promise. Moses said, it seemed good to me. Why did it seem good to him? Was it wrong? I don't think it was wrong. And maybe it did seem good. But I took from that, how often does it seem good to me or does it seem good to God? Looking to God for advice, not what seems good to us, what's right in our own eyes. So spies came back and they reported. And their faith was weak. They had fear. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. When our faith is weak, we need to trust God, not turn to logic. Does it make sense to go into the promised land and face walled cities when they'd just been tromping through the desert? I don't think they had, maybe they had some armor, I don't know, but here they're going in against these people, and it didn't seem logical. They had reason to be fearful, but the fear wasn't from God. And I think for us, we have these fears that come up when we are faced with following the Lord in many different ways. For each one of us, what God's calling us to do is different. But we think, what will people think? it's outside of the box. Going to Asia is outside of the box for Sherry. What will people think? My church needs me. Oh, I need to stay home because I have a Sunday school class and everybody needs me. But there's other people who can do those things. What about our children? We have a lot of people tell us, oh, I could never learn a new language. I'm not sure I can either, but I could never live in a place that cold. It's a lot of what we hear about Mongolia. But God gives the grace, and God will give you the grace to go where He's calling you to go. Moses encouraged them to look at the Lord's help in times past and renew their faith. Verse 29 to 31. Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid. The Lord your God is going before you. I will fight for you as I did for you in Egypt before your very eyes, in the desert where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. The Lord was with them. The Lord was carrying them. He said, look back. Remember what God has done in your life. Don't be scared of what's ahead. There's always unknowns out ahead. There's always something you can say, you know, doesn't make sense. I don't know. I'm not sure. If I can't figure it out, then I'm not going to do it. But I think we all know that God can handle those things that come up. And for me, I've had people tell me, oh, wow, you have so much faith. And I just never feel like I do. And I told my mom one time when she said that, I said, you know, and it just struck me. Faith is like money. You just never have enough. If you have a little bit more, you just need a little bit more, because now that you have this much money, so you bought this, so you need insurance, so you need whatever. And it just, you always need more. And faith is like that. You take one small step, and then the next thing that comes along is just a little bit bigger. And you need a little bit more. But God always provides that faith when we're looking to Him to help carry us through. An example of the way I worry and fret sometimes about things is the hockey project can be overwhelming sometimes. All these kids, they all want to have a lot of fun, but hockey equipment's expensive. And it's hard. You can't find it there, and it's hard to get it there. And if I just let them use it as much as they want, and things are breaking, it's like, how are we going to get through the year? How are we going to have enough equipment to get to the tournament? And all these things. And sometimes I worry about that. And teams come and they bring the things that we need. And I find ways to get equipment there. And one day Victor told me, I think it was Victor, said, you worry too much. There was some example about somebody that was worrying too much. It seemed like you're trying to solve all your own problems. You know? That's right. That is what I'm doing. And I need to give it to the Lord. But it's hard. It's never easy to just give up and say, okay, I'm going to not have control. I'm just going to go where I don't know where I'm going and let God take care of it. So the children of Israel, in spite of their encouragement not to fear, they feared. They said, no, we're not going to go. And then God said, okay, turn around, go back. You don't want to go, then you're not going to go. Okay, we'll go. Verse 41, they decide. Then you replied, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight. as the Lord your God commanded us. So every one of you put on your weapons, thinking it easy to go up the hill into the country, up into the hill country. So after they heard what the punishment was going to be, they said, okay, I'll go. And then God said, no. I said, no, I mean no. And sometimes God gives us second chances, and sometimes God says, you know, if you don't want to listen to me the first time, you know, you're going to have to wait. And I don't want that to be me. I don't want God to say, okay, fine, I told you to go, you didn't go, now have fun in the wilderness for 40 years. And I look at Baya and the conflict he had with the church in 4 years where he was just wondering. He told me, he said, I wondered, will God ever use me again? He said, in the 4 years, he said, I never lost faith in God. But it wasn't easy. And then when God calls us, encourage each one of us, whatever that call is, to go. Do what God is asking you to do. They went up in rebellion against God. They first rebelled by not going, then they rebelled by going. So, you know, if we do this, we can do it. And God didn't bless what they were doing. And we see that I want God to be blessed. I want God to bless what I'm doing. But if God's not in it, I can try and try and try and try. And now I remember when Victor told me, trying to do it all by myself back in the fall. I was trying to get the land permission for the land where the ice rink is. And the year before, they had promised me, yeah, you can have it for 5 years. But they only gave me 1 year agreement for the land. So I said, come back in the fall. I came back in the fall. He's not in his office. He's out of his office. He's just putting me off and putting me off and putting me off. I tried for 2 months, and not every day. Sometimes I'd wait a week because they said, well, he's out of town. And finally, went to church one Sunday, and I just asked the pastor there, I said, you know, just pray for me. I said, I'm trying to get this piece of paper, and I can't do it, and just pray. And that same Sunday, Tanya talked to the one lady at church there, and it worked out for Annika, possibly worked out for Annika to go to her place for some babysitting, and so that Tanya could be free for more homeschool, focus on homeschool. And so Yagana came over on Monday, and I told her, she said, well, how are things going? I said, well, you know, I'm kind of frustrated, you know. Pray about this with me, because I know they're praying people. So what about this other lady? She works in government building. I said, well, you know, I knew she works there, but I didn't know that she really had any pull. Oh, yeah, she's now assistant to the mayor. Go talk to her. So I went into San Chimic and sat down with her, and she said, yeah, it's how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm about ready to retire. And then I'm going to serve the Lord 100% because done working my work. I'm going to do spiritual work after that. So what do you want? I said, well, you know, I need some help. Come with me. So downstairs we go, and the lady gets on the phone, calls in the guy that needs to sign the paper. She says, come in, the hockey guy's here. He's with San Chimic. And he was there. In 5 minutes, he was there, signed the paper. So I tried and tried and tried and tried. And finally, when we pray, the Lord pulls the strings. So how do we move forward in faith? I have a vision for the last year. This building, I drive by it probably almost every day. It's been telling me, you know, you need to buy that building. I don't know why. I think about it, it's close to the rink. We could use it for the hockey ministry stuff, a place where kids could come and hang out. Could do English clubs. We're partnering with Baya. I think about what all the potential we could have to have a place where we could gather people for the TEE, the Theological Education by Extension. I have a vision for a Bible memory club that hopefully Baya can help organize. If we start a house church or start a fellowship, house church didn't seem to work very well. People want something big. They want something with a name that's reputable. They don't want to just go to somebody's house and have a Bible study. Seemingly, Mongolians want something. If it has a reputation, then they'll go. A youth center, lots of opportunities. So we have this vision of a youth center. So we're praying about this and seeking whether the Lord would have us to buy this building. So ways to get involved in our ministry, and you already are supporting us, and we thank you for that. Sponsor this, our pastor, partner, and the pastor family, being to partner with them and provide opportunity for someone to sponsor the pastor. Sponsor a hockey player. Hockey sticks are expensive, and they pretty much use one a year. And so kind of the replaceable things, the ongoing upkeep of keeping that program running. Help build a greenhouse. We have that opportunity and the idea to help buy a ministry center. The ministry center is, at this point, a vision. And so we're using this summer to raise awareness and see if the Lord would lead us to move in that way. All ways that you can help to do God's work. And it's the journey. We started teaching English, and then greenhouses, and then hockey is the next step. More of a ministry youth center. We have possibility some teammates, maybe, in the next year or two. So see how the Lord leads there. I had one after that. So, okay. That's what we're doing, where we're at, kind of the same thing as we were, but always looking for new and better ways to connect with the community. We praise the Lord for the opportunity to be there and serve. It's just, Mongolia is an amazing place. It's great to be here this summer, but it was good to see that it was hard to leave as well. Hard for us. Hard for our children. It's like, can we just go for 1 month and come back? Well, I don't think we can fit everything in a month. So we're thankful that God has given us the call, that He's helped us to feel at home, for your part in making it possible for us to be there. So thanks so much.